You know, when we walk around and stand up, we usually look like this, isn't it? We put our hands beside ourselves. Am I right? And in some ways, that signifies our life as Christians, because we like to connect with the Lord. We are like one beam in the cross of Christ, standing straight. But you know, there's something missing when we stand straight. In some ways, our hands need to be out to welcome others. Am I right? The power of Christ needs to be outreaching and going out to others. Otherwise, it just stays in and becomes kind of a little bit selfish and a little bit false religion. So if people come out there afterwards to see me and they have their hands reached out to hug me, praise the Lord. And if I come and stand like this, ready to hug you, praise the Lord and don't duck. But I'm kind of careful. I can tell who wants to have a hug and who doesn't. Because you advertise it right away. As soon as you walk around, you have either that scowl and says, "Don't you touch me." Or you have that welcome that just is there, and you know it. And you know that the love of God doesn't just flow vertical. It flows horizontal. Am I right? And the test of its vertical flow is in the horizontal. You might think that you're connected with God, but if this is shut up, it's not flowing. Because the flow has to come from God outward. And this is what I'm talking about today. There are some people here, and I already talked to some, and I know some, who have problems this week that are really big. High. I won't go into any details, but there are a lot of heavy problems. And the way, when the problems become too heavy, the Lord looks small. And you know how to solve the problems? When the Lord looks big, you know what happens to the problems? They shrink. Because the power of God helps with the problems. It gives us a vision. It gives us a view. It gives us a perspective that we didn't have before. And if you think you are so smart, think again. We are not so smart. We can only see, oh, who can see even tomorrow? We can't even see tomorrow. So we are not so smart. But we serve a God who looks ahead, and he can look at 1,000 years ahead, and he knows your place, and he knows how he can minister to you and how he can serve you. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 4. When I chose this text, it wouldn't let me go. Ever so often, I read my Bible, and I can't get past some text. And then I say, what am I going to do with it? And the Lord kind of opens up. And I told my kind wife, I said, I'm going to speak only on 4:16 and a few other texts. And the more I read it, I said, no, there's something missing. And then I read that actually Hebrews 4, that last part, is one of the most precious parts of the New Testament. And listen, I have never spoken on it. I've preached for over 50 years and I've never spoken on it. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with me? So I would like to start at 16, but I have to start at verse 12, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living. Woo! Living. It's not dead. It's alive. And it does something. It affects us. You know, in too many lives, the word of God is dead. It doesn't make any difference what you do with it. But if you make it, if you really eat it, you know it's alive, living. So can I ask you, bring your Bibles to church. Carry it. This is your living word. And mark it and feed on it, because this is better than the potluck that we'll have after a while. Potluck will be good. Come to that too. But the spiritual word is powerful. For the word of God, the word of God is living and powerful. Have you tested the power of the word of God? Have you tested the power? Do you know the limits of the power of God? No limit. No limit. Thank you. Thank you, Bernie. And sharper. Whoop. Sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. Ever so often you think you can hide from God. You can't. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of God. And then verse 14 gives us really kind of a summary of the whole gospel. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confidence. Oh, the world is out there and is trying to get us let loose of our confidence. It's all along. But if we hold fast to our confidence, God will hold fast to us. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tested or tempted as we are, yet without sin. Praise the Lord for this high priest. Because we have that high priest in heaven, that God in heaven who looks after us, who offers offerings for us continuously, but who has already offered his own life for us. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I'm going to pull my chair up here, and I'm going to go over this text nearly word by word. Because when you eat the word of God, you have to go word for word at times, or phrase by phrase. And I was a reporter for this text. Who, what, when, where, why, how? You know, asking those main questions. And as I asked this text to this text, I came up with who. Give me the who. Let us therefore come boldly. Who is supposed to come?
We are.
It says us. Am I right? Let us. We who are here, who hear the word of God, let us come boldly. That means you. That means you, Don. Right? I see you have your hands stretched out to embrace your kind wife. That's a good way to reach out. Praise the Lord. Let us do what? Come. You have to get a move on it. We are a sitting religion. We are sitting church generally. Come, get up, come. Come to the Lord. And he invites us to come. So we come to the Lord because he invites us and he puts up with us. You know, there are some people who said, I can't go to church, I'm not good enough. Would all the good enough people raise their hands? No, I'm glad you put it down. None of us are good enough. It's all by the grace of God, and this is what we come here to. How should we come? Boldly. You know, if we know God, if we read the book all along, we can come boldly. Because any coming to God is already a boldness. Am I right? You know, He is so holy. And where are you? Mike is way down there. And you're not alone. You're in good company. I mean, in bad company. We're all in there. So we come boldly. Where? To the throne of grace. Oh, you know, there are some people who would say, come to the grace of throne of justice. I don't want to come to the throne of justice. Because if God would just judge me on the idea of justice, I wouldn't make it. Am I right? None of us would make it on the throne of justice. We come to the throne of grace. Amen. Where God saves us by grace, by the gift. He puts up with us when other people don't put up with us. He puts up with us every day. So the throne of grace is a beautiful picture of the throne of God. The throne of God is the throne of grace. Am I right? Because it's a throne that pours out gifts all the time. God gives us gifts all the time. Grace and giving is kind of related. So, and why do we come? Why do we go to the throne of grace? That we may receive His mercy. That, oh, thank you, Mary, that we may receive or obtain. That we may obtain mercy, right? We all need the mercy of God. None of you can make it on your own. Am I right? And the only way that we can make that grace is by going through the throne of God. So this is the only way of salvation. It's tremendously pointed out in this wonderful text, Hebrews 4:16. And what do we get that grace for? Grace to what? Grace to help. Not grace to sit on it. We are very powerful in grace that saves us. Now I need something to save my voice because I'm fortunately that I brought some water for myself, so before I said, oh, I won't need water, but I got the water anyway. Amen. And now we go on. Grace to help. To grace to help whom? Grace to help whom? To help each other. That's a wonderful answer. Grace to help us. It's also for us. But we get strength. Not that we would glory in our strength. But why do we get grace to help? To help others. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God empowers us. God gives us this vertical blessing, this power, in order that we may reach out, so that His power goes out. And, well, we'll talk more. Oh, the last part. When? In time of need. And if there's ever a time of need, it's a time of need now. Am I right? Amen. Now is a time of need for so many people. And we are called to be the helpers. We are called to be the helpers. Praise God. God is approachable, that we can come to the throne. You know, when we were living in Korea, I met the president and we became friends. And other people, all the other people couldn't get to the president. But I had the power, because I was his friend, to pick up the phone and I said, I would like to visit with the president in the next 2 weeks. And the secretary would say, yes, sir, and make the appointment for me. When they closed the university because of some problem, I was already in Michigan. They called me and says, you're the only one in Korea who can see the president. Come back. Amen. And so I came back, phoned up the Blue House, it's called there. And we saw the president. We got the college, the university reestablished and helped again. But he was approachable to me. The great God of the universe. Isn't that fantastic? We are just the least of his creation in some ways. Maybe the best of his creation. I don't know. We'll find out. But some of the angels are really terrific. And I know better when I get there. But praise the Lord that he is approachable. You remember Esther? She couldn't approach a king unless he held out his scepter to her. God is holding out his scepter to you and say, come, come, come. Come to the throne of grace to find the help. We don't help enough, you know, because we don't have enough grace. We don't have enough strength from God. God can give us that help. God can reach out to us. One commentator said, when we come to the throne of grace, that we should press closely. You know, when we are in trouble, we tend to run away. We ignore the problems and run away and hope that the problems go away. God says, come, come to the throne, press closely. There's grace for you, there's help for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we have to connect with that God. And he offers a connection and we can take part in it. I have three other texts that I will spend the next few minutes on. And the next one is on John 14:26. Afterwards, we go into the Old Testament, Isaiah 58, and we end up with the New Testament, Matthew 25. But now we go into John 14:26. John 14:26. Reads like this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you how many things?
All
things. And bring how many things to your remembrance? All things. You know, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit gave to us the Word of God. The people who, this is a promise that came so true, because the people who heard it in John and in Matthew and all over the place, they remembered it word for word. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful. But the Helper whom the Holy Spirit The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Can you find something unusual? Can you find the Trinity in this text? You know, I spend a lot of time praying about some of those texts and looking what's hidden there. And the Trinity is hidden there. In what order? First, it's the Holy Spirit, am I right? In verse 26. And then the Father. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father. In whose name? In Jesus' name. You know, there are not many texts in the Bible about the Trinity, and this is one of them. It's kind of hidden. You kind of have to search for it. And this is why this word is a living word. It comes out continuously, fresh, beautiful. Verse 23, it says, Jesus answered, said to them, him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. If we love God, the word of God is going to be so like a consuming fire. It's going to be our guide. It's the most important thing. I have at home quite a few Bibles, but 2 weeks ago I bought a new Bible. I lost my other Bible that I used to carry around for many years here in this church. But it had to be a special Bible, and this is it. So I'm starting again with a new Bible. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's important. And I mark it up. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, gives us and teaches us. So when you don't know how to help, who do you go to? You go to the Lord. You go to the Holy Spirit. Am I right? So that he would teach you what to do. He teaches us what to do. I can go on more and more in this section, but I am one who limits myself. And read the whole chapter 14. It's terrific, especially from verse 15 on. Verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit is with us. In baptism, you are baptized not only by water, but by the Holy Spirit. Am I right? Amen. And that becomes our supreme focus of life. It becomes our focus of life. I will go now to the next section in Isaiah 58. And Isaiah 58 gives you a choice of two fasts. And I want you to think about which fast you are choosing. The first fast is kind of, it's outlined. It's verse 58. Chapter 58, Isaiah. And the first fast is described with verse 2 on. And they seek me daily and delight to do my ways as a nation that did righteous and did not forsake the ordinance of our God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take a delight in approaching God. You know, it's possible to delight in approaching God. It's impossible to delight in your religion. Amen. It's impossible to delight in your religion and still miss the boat. I hope I'm not misunderstood, but that's what it says here. It's an external religion that's so easy. The form of religion, the form of godliness without the power thereof. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike. So that's the first fast. The second fast is terrific. And we kind of often discount it because it sounds like social justice. It sounds like something social. And we are religious people. We don't do just social things. God forgive us for our arrogance. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring your house into your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break forth like a morning. Your healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your protection. Amen. We are God. This is a fast that the Lord has chosen for us. And in verse 1, it tells very clearly, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. When we focus only on our own religion, we are missing the boat. When we only focus on our own comfort in the Lord, we are missing the boat. God gives us comfort. God gives us strength to share it with others. Am I right? Amen. Amen. We don't get all those blessings so that you would sit on them. We get the blessings to share. And the more we share them, the more power we get, the more blessings we get. Our system is clogged up. The blessings don't flow clearly. I can go on and on. But it talks about the oppressed. And that's not just the physically oppressed and those who are imprisoned. It's true. There's so many who come seeking in this church here every Sabbath a new faith, a new strength. And praise the Lord. The Lord can give it. But many times he has to give it on a personal basis through you. One to one. Don't rely on anybody else. Don't say that we are not doing enough. You do it. Hang around. Find the people who cry between the altar and the door and be their comfort, be their helper. You have a ministry, every one of you. If you are 8 years old or if you are 80 years old. And now, Matthew. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man, in verse 31, when the Son of Man, in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he with all his angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And the God will say to the ones on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. They are so blessed. And because they have gone forward in faith, they have been blessed. And because of that, they have been doing those great works. Those great works have not gotten them into the kingdom. It's their faith. But because they had the faith, Because the Holy Spirit could point out to them people in need, and they responded. Too often we are blind, we are deaf to the needs of around us. Some of you have remember Richard Roberts, who was homeless for a while. To how many homes was he invited in this church? Thank you, thank you. 3, 4. Good for us. Good for us. But to me, many times he was the least of these, my brethren. When we had a memorial service for him in this church some time ago, his sisters came and their families, and they were flabbergasted. We spoke about a Richard Roberts that they didn't know. To them, he was a black sheep of the family, a pain. They didn't want anything to do with him. To us, he was a beloved brother and a beloved friend. And praise the Lord. He was the least of these of our brethren. And we tried what we could. But now he's gone. And you know, there are another half a dozen or a dozen, least of these, our brethren in this church. Amen. If you don't know them, it's because you're blind. The Holy Spirit hasn't gotten through to you. May the Lord point out those people to you. And may you minister to them. And may those people minister to others, because sometimes the Lord impoverishes us in order that we might help in our poverty. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in verse 35, 36, it says, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. This is wonderful. You know, like the little boy who went to Jesus' meeting and there were 5,000 hungry people and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Lord used that little bit to feed 5,000. The Lord can use your little tiny puny ministry, your tiny, puny little word, and multiply it and make it a healing. The woman at the well gave Jesus a cup of water. And that cup of water was life to her whole village. Share your cup of water. Whenever anybody walks into our house and we have a lot of people coming, I go to the fridge and get something to drink. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we can do it and that we have all these. Invite people to your home. In when we were missionaries in Korea, I traveled and people invited us to their home. In those days, We didn't go to hotels. When we visited churches, people opened their homes. And I remember being down there in Jeju-do, visiting a small church. And the leader of the group had a little house with one room. And the whole family was sleeping on the floor in that room. And they pushed their little mats together a little bit and made room for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And what a privilege is to be a missionary, to go on mission, to open up your home to others. And many of you have done that. Closing. You remember Dorcas, how she was raised to life because the Lord loved her, saw her faith so much expressed in that. And we here have a wonderful place, closed closet, food closet. We have many, many ministries in that. But don't give it just on that. Do it also yourself. And come to the potlucks. It's not easy. We go to 3 potlucks a month most of the time. And then we have people over every week on something. And the Lord blesses. The Lord helps us. Visit the sick. Jesus visited the sick. But he brought healing to that. And when we go out, we can bring spiritual healing. Am I right to the people? Amen. Spiritual joy, spiritual help. So there's a place for that. Amen. At one time, I was wondering if I had to do all of those 6 things. And at one time, I did all of those things. Actually, I had a ministry in the prison. And I would go once a month to the prison to give a Bible study to a black Muslim. And that was quite an experience. But recently, I read that text again and come to a little bit of different conclusion, you know. There's no record that Jesus ever did all 6. Am I right? You know, Jesus fed the multitude, right? Okay. There's no record that Jesus ever gave anybody a drink of water. Most likely he did, but there's no record of it. Or that he invited strangers to his home. Most of the time he didn't have a home when he was in ministry, right? Amen. So, doing that, but in verse 37 it says, or you have fed the hungry, or thirsty and gave them drink. When did they see them and when did they do all of those things? So there are 4 ors there. So we do only one. We only do it's part of it. We have a ministry. We have a ministry that the Lord points out. And I have a question to, is there a mic someplace over there? It's all right. Yeah, why don't you get it? Merritt, Dolores, you have a big ministry. I won't ask you, Dolores. But Merritt, what is your gift of helping?
Well, let me back it up just a little bit. A number of years ago, I was on vacation with my wife, and we went into a store, and I saw this little book laying on the counter, and I picked it up, and it said, The 11th Commandment. And I spent 2 or 3 minutes browsing through that book, and that made a major impression on my life.
Amen.
That basically our job as a Christian is to confirm others and let them know the value that's in them. And I say my mission is when I see people to try to build them up in Christ and let them realize how important they are in God's sight. Every person that walks through this door out here has been redeemed by the kingdom of heaven by his own death, and we better treasure them very deeply.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have a beautiful ministry catching up with people. Mike, what's your ministry of helping?
Well, all I know is that before I accepted Jesus in my heart, I couldn't help anybody. I was too selfish. I couldn't stop to help anybody. But once I found Jesus, when I see somebody, there's that little voice that says, help that person. And if I don't, I've passed by an opportunity. But when I do, I feel like I'm more like Jesus.
Amen, amen. Jesus called the people we help my brother. Robert Richards was my brother. When we helped him, we helped Jesus. Am I right?
Amen.
Mary?
Well, the Lord has given me different ministries. And one of the biggest things is the open heart of love. When I see people in need, I help them either buy diapers, a Christmas tree. I open my home and have had many people live with me. And like I tell Al, God has taught me how to love, and he wants me to love others.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We know your ministry. You're supposed to be on the second row, but I come this far. Kristen.
I tried to get up close. I feel the Lord's shown me ministry with helping the homeless and opening my eyes and realizing that we need to be there for them in order to show them his word. And we have to be there strong with them and not just giving them food, but giving them his spirit when we're a part of, you know, giving to them. And we are giving the nourishment, but the most nourishment they need is his word.
Rob, are you sitting close enough? Do you want to take the mic a minute and tell you how you are helping?
I really don't know how I help too many people. I just try to live a good life, and if somebody's curious about how I do that, then they can ask me. And maybe by trying to live a good life, that does help others.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I come all the way down this time.
I have two granddaughters, and my son hasn't allowed me to bring them to church, so I wondered how I could minister to them. And every Sabbath afternoon, I go pick them up. Well, after I pick them up, I sing Jesus Loves Me and some of the children's songs to them all the time. And Shay was afraid of the dark, so I told Shay, I said, don't be afraid of dark. All you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he'll protect you. Well, this week, she goes to public preschool. This week, she was so excited that she went around the whole school telling each individual kid that they did not have to be afraid. All they had to do is ask Jesus to come in their heart, and he will protect them.
Praise the Lord.
And furthermore, when the teacher was trying to teach the children some other songs, she would sing real loud, Jesus loves me, this I know. So my son got called in, and the teacher spoke to him. But I was kind of proud that my little granddaughter would share.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we have a benediction, or do we have a song? I think it's a benediction. And Eric has a benediction. Praise the Lord. Okay, shall we pray?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day that we can spend time with you. Help us to be better helpers. Please be with everyone as they go home today. Please watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.